Open to Comics.
Episode 217. This week, we talk about
The Tick animated series.
Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes. See what we're reading next. Send us a message. Or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics.
And now, the cast. Yeah, how'd that go?
It was awesome. I got weekend passes for both of us. So we were there Saturday morning and then late Saturday night. I was there all day Sunday and then we went today as well.
Cool.
I bought so much stuff.
What did you, like what? What's the coolest thing that you got?
I got the Yoshitaka Amano Final Fantasy art book, like the full Sick. Box set. I got a scale model of the Normandy.
nice.
I got a Gundam to assemble.
Hell yeah!
I got a bunch of art, and I got 22 buttons, including, like... So the whole con, I was looking for, like, something Samurai Flamenco related, and we saw nothing, because no merch was actually made, because the show tanked in Japan.
Oh.
There's, like, some keychains and shit, but it's, like, there are no figurines. And it's not super popular in the U.S. either. So, like, the very last, like, half hour of Artist Alley, we were wandering around and I randomly just spotted someone selling pins with Samurai Flamenco characters on them. And I think it was, like, the only reference to it in the entire fucking con. So I got those and that was cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Grant got some art, too. And then we attended a couple panels, which was fun.
Which panels? Like, were there good panels? Or because I've always known Fanime to not be having great panels.
They were okay. Like, they were good for me for different reasons for each. Like, the first one we went to was on starship design.
Oh, sick. That sounds awesome.
And that was fun. Grant said, like, he expected a bit more, like, visual stuff, but it was still neat. Like for instance, if you were in a starship in a warp field, what would likely actually happen is all these particles would get stuck to the front of your ship as you were going, and then when you got out of warp, you would just blow up anything in front of you. And that had never, like, occurred to either of us. So things like that. They talked about that kind of stuff. And then we went to a panel the next morning on the politics of fan subbing. Like, is it good for the industry? Should fan subbers continue to do it once, you know, the official sub is out, that kind of stuff? Mm-hmm. And that was, like, good for the first half. And then it got derailed by, like,
Q&A.
Yeah. And some people had, like, really good apt things to say and great questions, but there are just, like, a couple people who were like, I'm going to give you a long-winded opinion that actually has nothing to do with anything and is just saying I like this, and it's like, oh god.
Yeah.
One of the funniest things is Grant was raiding Sunday night, so I went back on my own, and they were doing, like, the extra hard anime quiz show.
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing in that they failed so hard, the people, like, on it. So at one point, the host was like, fuck it. You can each pick a member of the audience to come up and stand behind you and feed you the answers. So that happened, and then they started getting stuff right, and it became more interesting. But, like, it was in this format where if you answered a question, you got to reveal a piece of, like, this visual puzzle on a grid.
Okay.
And if you could name the character and series or, like, you know, thing it was from, then you got an extra 50 points. They had GLaDOS full up on the screen. And they knew it was from Portal, and they did not know GLaDOS. Like, shit like that. Or, like, someone not knowing Jack Sparrow wanted rum in Pirates of the Caribbean. It was just... like, it was impressively ignorant.
Those things don't really have a lot to do with anime.
No, they had a number of questions that had absolutely nothing to do with anime, which was surprising.
Huh.
Because it's the extra hard anime quiz show.
Yeah, yeah, you'd think, like, it would, did they just be calling up obscure anime all day long?
Yeah.
Well, that's how they make it extra hard, by having non-anime questions.
Those people probably prepared for this, for all of the obscure animes, and then they went and they were like, wait, but I had no time to watch Pirates of the Caribbean.
Well, that's the thing, they failed at the anime questions. It's, like, even harder. It's like,
It sounds... The quiz show ones are usually pretty fun. There's one that they do in San Diego Comic-Con everywhere. At least they used to do it every year. Was a Star Wars quiz. But all of the questions are, like, true, false, or answer A or B. And they have everybody wants to participate stand up and go to the front of the room. And there's a line down the middle of the room. They put up the question, and you have 10 seconds to get on the side of the room that you think is right.
Oh.
And then anybody on the wrong side of the room goes back and sits down. And so that one's really neat because you get the group think kind of thing. Like, people just go where the majority of the group is for a while. But then you notice after a couple rounds that there's, like, one kid or one person who knows all the answers. So you just go stand wherever they stand. And it was hilarious. I remember this one year where the one person obviously knew every single answer. And the other person, like, knew nothing except to stand next to the person that knew all of the answers.
That's awesome.
And so... like, they got down to just the two of them, and they would just stand on the line, and then the question would come up, and they would go to one side, and the other guy would go to the other side, and then, like, they would just, the one guy would just always follow the other guy. And so eventually the guys doing it were like, okay, there's gonna be 5 seconds, and I'm gonna set an alarm, and when the alarm goes off, where you are is where you are, and if you're on the line, then you have given no answer, and you sit down. Where you are is where you are. So the guy who knew the answer waited until, like, the last possible second, and, like, he had a foot on both sides of the line, and at the last moment, he picked his foot up.
Oh, man, that and won just it that way. So cheaty.
Well, that's what so he had cheaty. To do, because the other guy was just following him.
Oh, my God.
It was hilarious, though, because it was, like, it was one of those fake rivalry things. You knew the guy who knew all the answers would be the one to eventually win, but it was fun in the moment.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad. I'm really glad that you had a good time.
No, I was super psyched. Like, I had a weird Sunday night because I went to go see a panel on weird manga, and there were, like, no lines for the panels the whole time before this. So we hadn't, like, eaten dinner, but we ate, like, such a big lunch. I was like, whatever. I sit down at the Fairmont, and I'm like, okay, I'll have a drink before the panel and go right up. I have my drink, which cost $15 fucking, oh my God.
Welcome to the Fairmont.
I've never paid that much, even, like, at a hotel bar in San Francisco or something. No,
the Fairmont's
insane.
Ridiculous.
That's probably because of con weekend, too.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, and it was only people watching the basketball game in the bar.
Oh,
so they were, like,
yeah.
I pulled out my DS and they all gave me, like, the side eye. It's like, yeah. So I get up. And I haven't eaten dinner, and I'm just, like, trashed. And I'm like, oh, fuck. So I'm, like, wandering around, except the lines are so long, like, they're blending into each other. So I'm, like,
oh,
just
probably
because
the floor had closed by then. Was it that late?
Yeah, it was that. It was 9 o'clock. So
there you go.
The floor closed at 7. So I'm, like, just talking to all these strangers, like, which line is this? And then I get in line, and there's, like, they close the panel. Like, 50 people in front of me.
Oh.
So I didn't get to see it. It was probably really cool. But then I wandered around downtown, like, trying to sober up to go home. And then eventually I got a burrito and wandered back to the con and just, like, walked around. And all these random people, like, would come up and just, like, talk to me.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. Like, it was just pretty friendly and... I was pretty drunk, so I was like, yeah, let's chat with strangers.
I mean, that's the great thing about a convention, you know? I was talking to a friend of mine, Alex, who may or may not listen to this show, and we were reading through the schedule for Fanime, and I was like, Saturday night, it's advanced erotic fan fiction writing. It was a workshop for erotic fan fiction. And he was like, I don't want to go and be the creepy guy in the corner. And I had to be like, are you fucking kidding me? It's a panel on erotic fan. Every single person there is the creepy guy in the corner. Like, if there was ever your people, this is your people. Every person in that room is going to be a creepy guy from the corner of some other room.
Like, did he go?
I don't know if he had a whole weekend pass for Fanime. I don't know if he went to that. I'll have to ask him next week. But but that's also the beautiful thing about a convention like this is these are your people, you know? Yeah.
So that was the thing I liked the most, like more than anything. Like, okay, so I haven't really been around too many other people who are really into anime the same way I was in high school for a long time. And walking around, I was like, this is my tribe. It was, and I felt like totally cool just walking up to random people and being like, can I take your picture? Everyone was super friendly. It was a great, first con experience.
Cool. Do you see good cosplay? Like some awesome stuff?
I saw some really, really awesome stuff, and I saw some amazing yet disturbing stuff. Like there were a bunch of bodybuilder bros dressed up in Speedos and then paper mache Pokemon masks. And they kept going and doing this little human centipede skit thing. It was really fucked up, but
was it Doug Trio?
Yes, it was Doug Trio.
I've seen them before. It's the three dudes with the Doug Trio, yes.
And then they were led by a really fucking buff Magikarp.
That's awesome.
I haven't seen the Magikarp before, but the Doug Trio before.
He's tagged on Instagram everywhere. I saw a really sweet DJ Sona.
Nice.
There was a guy doing a Portal cosplay, and he had actual working spring shoes. He was 7 feet tall in them. It was amazing. Sick. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I bought so much crap, which I'm really happy I did. And Grant was like, you have to publicly shame yourself for this. We went into the dealer room and we were just wandering around. I was like, oh, what should I get? What should I get? The first thing I bought was 2 volumes of Yaoi. And Grant's, he just gave me shit the whole weekend for it. I'm like, come on, man. And I was like, if you want to go buy some hentai, you can. I won't even say anything.
This is the place to do it. This is the place to do it.
Yeah, he's like, no, it's way more fun to just make fun of you.
Because you know, no vendor there will say anything. And nobody seeing you walk around with it will say anything.
Well, you know what? There were a bunch of people walking around with, full-on yaoi, t-shirts and baseball caps that said Yuri. You know, I'm like, hey, man.
They don't have any other...
Weird here.
There won't be another chance for them to wear that and not be, worried about who else is judging them.
The 2 days out of a year that shirt is okay.
Yeah, that's where you can wear that and not look like a sex offender.
Yes.
Right.
That's what I was trying to say to Rage the other day, or Alex, this is your people, one or another. And not to say that everybody who goes to Fanime walk around in Yaoi or Yuri shirts, but...
But the thing is, no one will openly judge you for anything there.
Right, exactly. And that's the greatest thing about a convention is, you said, the feeling of you walk in the building, you look around at the people, and you go, yeah, this is my tribe. These are my people. That was my feeling at Star Wars Celebration for sure.
Oh, yeah, me too. I felt like I was not up to par because I didn't have any
cool armor.
Costume.
Yeah.
So, speaking of which, sorry to
go on.
Sidetrack for a second. I ordered my helmet, Andy.
Yes.
Ooh, Mandalorian?
Yep.
Woohoo!
Damn right.
I'll get That's it in exciting. About 2 weeks.
Sick. Okay, good. I'm getting close. I was this close to being done with my garage. And then,
Well, I just realized that if I don't, it's going to take me forever unless I take a first step. So that was my first step.
Yeah, unless you get moving. For sure.
And actually, so some of the local Terran clan members were at Fanime.
Oh, cool.
And one of the other local guys who is building his armor invited them over to his house for a barbecue. And so I ended up meeting up with some of them on Saturday night.
Sick.
Oh, awesome.
So.
Oh, Jen, I was going to ask you. I remember we were talking about this a couple weeks ago, and I mentioned the, like, midnight hentai music video screenings.
It was too late for us, and I think Grant was a little creeped out by the idea.
But that's what make it more fun.
Well, the thing is, like, I brought up the thing. I told him about, like, the fapping issue. And then we were at a party Saturday night, like, a completely separate thing, but I was
And there
talking...
was somebody there fapping anyway?
No. I was talking to a friend who had gone to that a few years back, and she was like, yeah, they actually threw someone out when we were in the room.
Oh.
And then Grant and I were like, it does happen. Oh, God.
Oh, God, that's disgusting.
Yeah, right. You're like, oh, no.
It's funny when it's a joke, but then when it's something that really happens, suddenly it's actually disgusting.
Well, we spent the whole afternoon speculating, right? Is it a preventative measure? Has this happened? And he's like, well, it must have happened at least once if they think they need to check.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh,
Well, don't go to any panels in that room.
Yeah. Don't touch the chairs.
No. Yeah, next year we shall do a group cosplay. That'll be fun.
I am definitely considering, like, I've made a list of things I would do.
Yeah. Cosplay's so much fun.
What's at the top of your list?
Samurai flamenco, because no one is fucking representing it.
Because if somebody recognizes you in that costume, you'll be like, fuck yes.
Yeah, I'd be like, we're friends now.
I don't care what you were like. We are friends now.
I don't know who you are, but we are friends now. So the thing is, it'd have to be gender swapped because the dude's a dude, and yeah, I don't want to wear a wig, so I get to be it would be femenko.
Femenko?
Femenko.
Make it that much harder to identify. Yeah.
And then after that, I was thinking, if I really want to work out for like a year, I could do Bayonetta.
Oh, yeah?
Except I'm really short. I'm only 5'2", and she's like a monster. So I'm sure it would look fine, but like I feel like the height is something important for her, because she like towers over mere mortals.
Whatever you want to, that's the thing, is that's the great thing with cosplay, it's whatever you want to wear. The most important thing is that you're excited to do it.
Yeah. And then the third one is Madoka from Madoka Magica.
Oh yeah.
I bought a Kyubey backpack, and I literally have nowhere appropriate to wear it except to a con again. So I'm like, well, I could just cosplay as a character from that show and like have Kyubey around with me.
Yeah, that's legit.
Yeah, so I am very enthused, and I am excited for next year, and I'm also thinking of going to the Sacramento con in September.
Nice.
There's one in, like, August. Oh, Image Expo. I mean, that's not really... I mean, it's Image-specific, but it's another con. And it's
fun stuff there.
It's in San Francisco. Yeah. So I'm going
to have to go to that.
I'm not sure when it is exactly, but I would like to maybe go to that one.
Also, didn't Big Wow buy out WonderCon or something, and they're having it in San Jose now? Right?
No, so it was Steve Wozniak and Stan Lee both decided it would be a great idea to have a comic book convention in San Jose, so they founded this thing called Silicon Valley Comic Con, and then after they did it, they discovered that Big Wow was already a thing.
Okay.
So they invited Big Wow to be part of what they were doing, and Big Wow was like, with more money and more recognition? Yeah, sure, we'll sign up.
So that is going to happen this year?
I don't know if it'll be this year, but it's definitely for the future.
Okay, there was that's something we should go to.
Yes. You guys should look up the commercial for that convention. It's pretty sad.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's basically Steve Wozniak talking to Stan Lee over FaceTime.
Yeah, well. That's one more ad than Big Wow had last year. So
yeah.
I mean, as awesome as Big WoW has been getting year over year, or not awesome, as much better as it's been getting year over year, just more support can't be a bad thing, I think. Anyway, you guys ready for this week's comic?
You mean TV show?
TV show.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
This week's comic.
Oh, you sound so enthused.
No, I'm just...
You were aware that there was a TV show, right, Andy?
Yeah. I read the comics for... No. This week we watched Tick the Animated Series. We watched The Tick versus The Tick, which was Season 1, Episode 7, and The Little Wooden Boy in the Belly of Love, which was Season 2, Episode 1. And... I definitely enjoyed this more than the comic, I gotta say.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like these ideas translate way better to a cartoon than they do a comic.
I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, especially, I've never, because, like I said last week, I've never had any exposure to The Tick. So for me, like, for this, for you guys, this is more, like, there's a nostalgic part of this, of you remember watching this when you were younger. But for me, it's just like, okay, this versus the comic, and this is all new for me. But I can definitely confirm what you guys were thinking last week. You guys were kind of hinting that maybe the cartoon was definitely better than the comic, and I can say, yeah, the cartoon is better than the comic.
Well,
at least issue one.
So I would agree. I agree with you on that. And I think the reason why that's the case is, when the Tick was being published, the comic, it was just in a magazine, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily an individual issue initially, so it probably wasn't as, like, serious as if it was its own paper comic. And so I think probably by the time it was more polished, because it was written by the same, I think it was written by the same guy.
Yeah, I think so.
Ben Edlin.
Ben Edlin also wrote the show. And so I think probably a lot of the jokes that he had come up with when creating the comic that ended up in the show, he was able to polish them so it came across better. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I totally do. Yeah. Well, and also in this, I feel like we got, okay, maybe it's because we chose the episodes we chose with The Tick versus The Tick and Little Wooden Boy in the Belly of Love. We got a much better sense of this world that The Tick lives in, like all of the different heroes and villains. And I gotta say, like, the highlight of this for me was the character design was just hilarious.
Well, I think again, The show was created in, like, the early 90s, which was probably, like, 6-7 years after the comic was originally published. So, you know, they could just immediately start using all the good ideas. And so it ended up being a better product.
Yeah, like, I mean, and not just the main characters are more fleshed out, but, like, Blowhole is awesome and hilarious. Like, just the way he looks when he's running and the, like, a cross-country sperm whale. What the fuck? And the fucking, the Swiss Army and American Maid and The Tick versus The Tick. Like, they're all pretty great.
American Maid is awesome. She's one of the main background characters, and she's definitely one of my favorites.
She's like the Captain America kind of figure.
Slash Wonder Woman type character.
Okay. Just for some background, the reason she's so mean to Deathlater Mouse is because they used to date.
Okay.
So when she's just like, you know, you... Oh, I forgot. She said something like super mean to him when he's lying on the floor after getting shot with poodles, I think.
Poodle gang,
she's just like, you're so desperate. It's because they had like a really bitter breakup thing.
Wait, what is the poodle gun woman's hero name?
I have no idea. She's like an extra, okay. I think.
Yeah.
That was my favorite, where he comes up and he's like, hey, sweetheart, what you got in that poodle gun? Anything for me? Like, if someone came up to me and said that, I would be like, we're friends now. That's just like the worst. That's the best worst pickup line I've ever heard.
I think he was the only character that made me roll my eyes a bit more often than everybody else.
Deflator Mouse?
Yeah.
In a good way or a bad way?
In a this shtick is repetitive kind of a way.
Okay. I can see that.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a tool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's done on purpose, Andy. Like, make him annoying.
Yeah.
Is because he's supposed to be. Like, nobody really likes the guy.
Yeah. I feel like that is most of the people, like, in that car when they're going to... Like, it's the Tick, the Tick's sidekick, Deflator Mouse, and the Sewer Urchin. Like, these are the people nobody else wants to hang around. Maybe Arthur.
Arthur's, like, the most normal person in the whole team. I mean, that's
the joke, is all of these people are, even the extras are whacked out weirdos, and Arthur's just a normal dude. Like... That's the joke, is that Arthur's the one who seems out of place for being just a normal guy. Just like a fucking accountant. Wasn't that his day job? Just like an accountant?
Yeah, he was an accountant.
I think so.
Yeah.
But he's been fired by Mr. Wiederspan.
Oh, he has by now?
Oh, yeah, that's in episode one. In the first episode of the show, he gets fired and his boss's name is Mr. Wiederspan.
Yeah. So the first episode was the Tick versus the Tick, right? They hop in a car. They're going out to...
Well, the first episode we watched.
The first episode we watched.
Tick versus the Tick is like the second or third episode of the show.
It's episode 7 of season
7. 7, yeah.
So they hop in the car. They're going to go out and party hard with their other superheroes at the Comet Club. They go... Arthur gets kicked out and has to get sent to the Sidekick Lounge, which is just like an outhouse almost. And then while they're there, they drink. And then, the Midnight Bomber comes and tries to bomb the place and the Tick foils it.
It's not just the Midnight Bomber.
Yeah, you get it right.
Yeah, it's the Midnight Bomber what bombs at midnight.
The evil Midnight Bomber what bombs at midnight.
Okay.
Ooh, I got it wrong too?
Yeah.
Good job, David.
Oh, and apparently
so this is the reason I picked this episode is because it's my favorite episode of the show.
And there's also Barry, who calls himself the Tick.
But yeah, Barry's pretty awesome.
I'm a big fan
of Barry.
See, how is he a Tick though? With like a kinetic shield, he's not Tickish at all.
How is the Tick Tickish, Andy?
That's
part of the joke of the show too.
No,
like,
he's totally...
what makes him how in what ways.
He's... near invulnerable, very, very strong for his size, and stupid. The only thing that's not Tickish about him is the blood sucking. Otherwise,
well, Barry's
it's pretty
apt. I think Barry's costume looks more like a Tick than the Ticks.
Yeah, but I don't know. The Ticks being bright blue, I think, only reflects the low level of intelligence of the Tick. I don't know. I feel like the Tick is more of a Tick than Barry the Tick. If we have to compare.
We do.
Yeah, we're kind of forced to here.
That's what we do on this show. That's what we do.
Hard-hitting questions like that we must answer.
The evil bomber, what bombs at midnight. I mean, that's just bad branding.
He's awesome, though.
His whole dialogue thing, I think I couldn't decide this as a kid, and I still can't decide. I do not know if I find him annoying or funny. When he's just like reciting snippets of conversations that he's had with people in like, I don't know, it's almost like the way that people, like, high-powered Hollywood people are depicted as acting in, like, 80s movies or something.
Yeah.
or like stockbrokers. I don't even know how to characterize him.
Yeah,
maybe he's like a Wall Street guy.
Yeah, he's
who got driven insane.
He makes me think like American Psycho.
Yep.
So this, like I said, is my favorite episode of the show, just because I feel like this is like a kind of side of superheroics that we don't see in other comics or superhero things, because they're like kicking back, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is them relaxing as superheroes, not in an alter ego. I mean, because the Tick doesn't have an alter ego. He is the Tick. Yeah. And neither does Arthur. Really, none of these characters have an alter ego. This is just them. They are these people, you know? I mean, Sewer Urchin lives in the sewers. He just has a spiky helmet to go with his scuba gear. So, and I feel like he's the whole, you know, and then there's like two people with the same name, and it's just, I don't know. When I was 9 years old, I found this episode hilarious, and now that I'm 31, I thought it was just as funny.
You know, I agree with that sentiment, like, wholeheartedly. I feel like this show has, like, really held up through the test of time. But I'm actually curious. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that David and I have strong positive feelings towards this show. Andy, as someone who's never seen it before, like, even without thinking about the comic we read last week, what do you think you would have liked this as a kid, and do you like it now?
I think as a kid, I don't know. When I was a kid, I didn't like a lot of things that my friends liked. Like, I did not like, what was the show? Ren and Stimpy. I didn't like that. What's the other name? Rocko's Modern Life. Everybody was into that. I was like, whatever. So this, I don't know. It'd be hard to say if I would have liked this as a kid, because I didn't like the stuff that was too over the top in weirdness. And this kind of is borderline on there. I'm sure I would have found some of the jokes funny, but I don't know. Even today, even now, I'm not sure. There weren't a whole lot of times that I actually laughed at this. I kind of, the thing that I found most entertaining through all of this was probably when the Tick just put in justice in other catchphrases. Fuck, I can't think of a good example of it now, too. Like, have a justice sandwich or shit like that. Or it's time to make a justice sandwich. There was a line like that that I laughed at. But that was pretty much it that I really, like, got more than a out of.
Alright.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just not a funny person. Because I realized, like, last week I talked about how I don't watch sitcoms or funny things, and then here I'm not laughing at a cartoon. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just not a funny person.
You're not.
I'm not. I don't have a good sense of humor.
This is kind of like the interesting thing, though. It's like, at least for me, I find this, like, impossible to rate without nostalgia goggles. I don't know how to view it, right?
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, this show is all, like, a big nostalgia trip for me.
I think this comic was funniest when the Tick was on the screen. And to hop to the next episode, The Wooden Boy in the Belly of Love, I think the funniest, like, thing in both of these episodes, aside from the recurring justice, was when the Tick made the wooden sidekick, the little wooden boy. It was just, like, fucking dragging it around the rooftops. I don't know why I found that hilarious.
But it was hilarious. See, you're not
it
complete,
was, yeah.
Like, sociopath Andy.
I'm not the American Psycho. That part I think was funny because it was just, you could tell the level of attachment that the Tick needed, but he didn't have a good way to express it. So he just got angry at Arthur and Arthur's new girlfriend. And instead of doing anything healthy about it, made a little wooden boy.
I don't think the Tick has the mental capacity to make healthy choices like that.
Mm-mm.
No. And plus, he didn't want to skip Hobby Night, right? He had to do Hobby Night.
You need Hobby Night. You know, he might be autistic. That might be what it is.
He's certainly something. I don't know what.
Andy, you have a degree in psychology.
Yeah.
Does he have anything that would appear in the DSM?
That's what I honest to God, I've been thinking about this. And he has, I don't know, because they call him crazy. He obviously has something other than just stupidity.
Maybe he's taken so many blows to the head. That's where his nigh invulnerable comes from, is he's not immune to concussions.
I want to say he's probably somewhere on the autism spectrum. But I don't know, because he's flexible in terms of his scheduling and his structure. But I don't know, is he really?
I mean, he refused to skip Hobby Night.
Mm-hmm. And he needs to go on patrol. Right?
Yeah. But somebody with autism would not go out drinking for the night, because that wouldn't be the normal time you go to bed. Unless they always go out drinking this night. I don't know. I don't know what I would say that he has. I would honestly have to look it up. It's probably just some kind of personality disorder coupled with
He might just be an idiot, intelligence. Though.
Yeah. Whatever it is, it's coupled with, like, that's what I'm saying. He might have a personality disorder coupled with extremely low intelligence. And there's nothing, I mean, there's nothing morally or whatever wrong with being an idiot. It's okay if he's stupid. I mean, there's no diagnosis for being dumb. It's okay. You can be dumb. But he's not just stupid. He's like, he's a different level of stupid.
Well, it's not clear whether or not he perceives the same reality
that
everyone else around him does.
That's why he definitely has something going on. He's not seeing the world the way that other people are.
Well, so you remember in the comic, there was the part where the Tick sees the buildings, like, come alive?
Yeah.
That actually happens in another episode of the cartoon.
Huh.
So he has the capacity to hallucinate, maybe.
Well, then that narrows it down a lot.
But see, the problem is, like, you gotta kind of think about the Tick in the context of his own, like, world. I mean, there's a supervillain named Chairface Chippendale, okay?
And his the fucking
face
Swiss
is
Army.
Literally, his face is literally a chair. His whole head is a chair.
Yeah. It's easy to be crazy, then.
Yeah, I mean, he's not... I don't think he is that much of a special case.
No, and honestly,
in his world.
That is... You're getting on the point that, like, I actually wrote my thesis on contextual psychiatry, is that if this is the world that the Tick lives in, and a dude can have a chair for a head, then in the context of that world, the Tick does not have a disorder. The Tick has changed his behavior so in that he can exist and have a mental capacity to live in that kind of a world. The same kind of way that we don't go to, like, third world countries where people live in the fucking rainforest, like, tribally, and say, oh, no, you're not the village oracle, you have schizophrenia and you're sick and need to go to a hospital. No. If in that situation, if you see visions of God, you're not schizophrenic, you're an oracle, it's fine, live that life, whatever, you don't deserve to get hauled off. Like, another great example is Willy Wonka. Willy Wonka's not crazy. Spend some time in that factory, that's how things work there, it's okay. He's built a world where his schizophrenia is actually what you need to be like in order to survive and prosper. So in the context of this world, you're right. I mean, the Tick isn't necessarily weird. He's just dumb, and he probably doesn't need to be diagnosed with anything. He's probably just walking around existing in the world the way that he needs to exist to become prosperous. So it's fine.
So here's a question. Arthur, he's, like, quote-unquote, the most normal person, right?
Yeah.
He was an accountant, but he also feels driven to find adventure. But in that, he purposefully, like, hangs out with people and in situations that endanger him in very serious ways. Like, he almost gets blown up by the evil Midnight Bomber, what bombs at midnight. He...
The whole name.
You know, he has to, like, deal with the Swiss Army and Blowhole. And, you know, he gets into all kinds of antics, and he's putting himself in harm's way in a lot of these cases, or, like, the potential of, like, serious consequence just for the sake of adventure. And it's clear that he used to live, like, a more, like, standard life, because we know his sister doesn't approve of the new superhero stuff. Right. Or, I'm sorry, the sister episode, I watched the whole thing, like, the whole first season. Okay, some context. His sister is, like, just a completely normal person. She does not approve of Arthur, and then he, like, later saves the city with the tick and wins her approval. That's where that's coming from. But, yeah, like, the people around him seem more like just everyday people, and he's trying to break the mold. So where does that leave him?
Yeah, you know, it's tough, because I mean, the definition of you have a problem if it upsets the normal balance or normal course of your life. So you can drink as much as you want, like, there is no number of drinks or blood alcohol content level that you need to meet in order to be considered an alcoholic. You can drink as much as you want, and according to the DSM, you are not an alcoholic until the amount of drinking interferes with your normal daily life. So Arthur probably should have gotten diagnosed with something when he got fired, like, that early, because at that point his deep-seated drive for adventure has disrupted his life to the point where he is now unemployed. And as far as I can tell, not even actively seeking a new job that could earn him a gainful wage. So he is not prospering in this world as he exists right now. So he would definitely need a diagnosis of some kind. I would have to dig into my book and get it, though. Because he's not schizophrenic or anything. I don't think Arthur sees the world in any different way than other people. I think he just has an unhealthy drive. And he has an unhealthy addiction to adventure.
Interesting.
But yeah, you're right. It's kind of interesting that in this context, the tick is the sane one, and Arthur is the one who needs a diagnosis. The accountant. Well, I mean, he's not even an accountant, really. He's just a dude in a moth suit at this point. He doesn't have a job.
Yeah. And he's not even, like, that's what gets me about him. He's not a hero. He's a sidekick.
Yeah.
Right, he's like, that's enough. That, you know, I don't need to be the hero. Just hang out with these people.
Well, he doesn't want that much heat on him. Although you say that, and I think, I'm trying to think, in the history of comics, I'm fairly certain more sidekicks have been killed than main heroes. I mean, well, yeah, certainly, I mean, there's Jason Todd, right?
Yeah, the main hero sells the book, right?
Yeah, so Jason Todd, Bucky. Bucky was dead for a while. Who else was there? There's some more sidekicks. Donna Troy.
Gwen Stacy.
Gwen Stacy, that's right, yeah. They come back.
No, I'm just kidding.
They all come back. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're...
Well, she is back now. Yeah, it's a variant of Gwen Stacy. I don't know. Yeah,
Spider-Gwen. I gotta read that. I'm gonna wait for it to get a Marvel Unlimited.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, it's a thing. So what did you guys think of the second episode, Wooden Boy in the Belly of Love?
Well, I mean, it has a little wooden boy, right? It's sidekick number two. He's the Jason Todd of the tick. Arthur is Dick Grayson, and little wooden boy is Jason Todd.
Except...
is what I'm trying to say.
Was it the tick who actually set little wooden boy on fire, or did someone else do it?
I don't remember.
I don't recall.
Or maybe they didn't show us.
I should have made that the quiz question.
Does anybody actually know the answer to that?
No, I don't know.
Doesn't seem like it.
We'd have to look it up. Listeners, send us an email and let us know what's up.
Go watch the cartoon again and tell us who set the little wooden boy on fire.
We should give out a prize for that. If anyone responds with, like, a correct answer.
Yeah, we will. We'll send a prize to that person. I don't know. By the way, Raymond, if you're listening, let me know if you got that comic, because I sent it out and I haven't heard anything, so let me know. Yeah, there you go. I couldn't just send a message on Facebook. No, I had to do it like this, because we are professionals, goddammit, we are fucking professionals. Oh, Christ. I really did like, I didn't just like Blowhole because I thought he was hilarious and had great costume design. I liked the slow burn on his part of the story development. Like, it starts out with Blowhole coming out of the sea. And then just, every once in a while, there'd be a shot of Blowhole running. And you're like, okay, this is going to matter eventually.
Yeah, because he's like irrelevant for a long time.
Oh, yeah. He's irrelevant for a good 2/3 of this, at least.
Well, even when they get swallowed, he's not that relevant, aside from the fact that he's become the setting.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's totally passive. He's not a villain. He's just running.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of that, what's the saying? Like, if you show the audience a gun in act one, you need to have it go off by act three or something like that.
I don't know.
There's a saying for that, and I feel like that's what Blowhole was. He was the gun
in that saying. There's a gun in Act 3?
Yeah. Like, legit. Eventually, legit. He has to matter. And you're just sitting around, excited, waiting for him to matter. And then when he does, I don't know. I just really like Blowhole, I think, is the moral of the story.
Who doesn't like Blowhole?
Communists.
Yep.
Yep. Well, you guys ready to rate these?
I mean, I guess so. There's not much to say other than these are really fun.
Yeah. Why don't you go first, David?
Well, see, just... I'm looking at it through a lens of nostalgia, right? But one thing that I often do when I go back and watch shows that I haven't watched in a long time, I try to think if it holds up. And, you know, of course these ratings are totally my own opinion. But I'm going to give this a 4.5. It's a pretty great cartoon, and to me, it still holds up. I laughed a lot when I watched it, so I think that's the most important part. And, so definitely going to give it a 4. Did I say 4 or 4.5? I forget.
You said 4.5.
4.5. That's the one. That's the one.
All right. Jen?
Also 4.5, but I do want to say... Like, there is no way for me to look at this cartoon objectively, because I think that it shaped my sense of humor. So I can't look at it now and say, oh, that was actually funny or not funny, just simply due to the fact that because it actively affected what I now find funny. Like, I mean, you can't... do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Because it made me have opinions about what was funny in the first place, I can't say whether or not it, as the genesis of that, is funny. Like, from an outside perspective.
Yeah, like, you can't now sit there and objectively say why you think Spoon is funny, because that's where you got the idea of randomness for randomness's sake is what's funny.
Yeah, it's kind of at this point, like, just a gut reaction. Like, I will laugh, and I did laugh a lot at this. And I think I will always enjoy this cartoon, and I think that one day... Like, if I ever have kids, I will make them watch it and hope they like it, that kind of thing. So, 4.5. I really love the tick, and I appreciate the inane humor.
Oh, God. I feel like such an asshole.
But you didn't grow up with it, so you can have whatever opinion you want.
I
want
to give this a 3.
And you're still an asshole.
I mean, last week I gave the comic a 2.5, I think, and this is definitely better than the comic. But I don't know, like I said earlier, I didn't really laugh at a lot of this outright, and the whole randomness for randomness thing is a big driving, like, source for the jokes in this show. And sometimes the randomness is funny, and sometimes it's just not. Like, the poodle gun, funny. Most of the other people who were sitting at that table when they got to the comic club and were hanging out, not that funny. I don't know. The dude with, the aqueduct on his head, like, okay, I get the joke that it's stupid, it's an aqueduct, but, like, that's the joke for all of them is that they're stupid, so it's
but
not.
He's like, that's who he is, he's the Roman god of the aqueduct.
Yeah, but
right?
that's not, like, particularly funny, because the shtick is already that they're all lame heroes, so just another lame hero is just another lame hero, and unless there's especially lame or especially weird, it's just another lame hero. And I know. Look, this is me sitting there overanalyzing it, I'm sure. I'm just trying to figure out why I didn't find it as funny as other people. And for me, that kind of thing is just not as funny.
Well, I mean, I just want you to know that you really, like, are hurting my feelings.
Okay. Then I'm just going to say 3 and leave it there. I'm just going to do that. Yeah. All right, you guys ready for trivia?
Sure.
Yep. Sure. Yeah.
I mean, never, but... Trivia.
Jen, why don't you go first? You get to ask David.
Okay. This is a question about Hawkeye. How much would you like to bet?
David, you're at -7 right now.
Jesus. Don't forget, 3.
The furthest you can go is -10, so.
So I'm at negative, so I can, I'm either, well.
You might as well go 5, because the difference between 3 and 5 if you get it wrong is nothing.
Yeah, okay, let's go 5.
Okay. So, how did Hawkeye apply for Avengers membership? A. He stopped crimes, hoping to be noticed by the team. B. He broke into their headquarters and demanded membership. C. He sought the backing of Captain America before applying. Or D. He took Iron Man hostage and demanded membership.
I'm pretty sure it's B, so I'm just going to go with B. I don't want to think about it too hard.
Final answer?
Yes.
You are correct, it's B.
Boom, I knew it!
Nice. All right. David, lay it on me.
All right, so your question is about Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel. Which one?
I will give you a hint and say that it is not about Carol Danvers. This is the first Captain Marvel, as in the Kree Mar-Vell.
Okay. I was asking DC or Marvel. Captain Marvel in DC being Shazam.
Okay, so, it's not Shazam. Sorry,
we're going for a Marvel Captain Marvel. Okay. Oh, shit, fuck. I was so ready to say -5, because I'm at -5, and then I get it wrong. Oh, but... if I bet 3, then I win. That puts me up to -2, which will tie David. So, 3. I'm going to say 3 points.
Okay, so the... Question is, the Kree intergalactic superhero known as Captain Marvel, aka Mar-Vell, succumbed to an early demise from which of the following? A. Thanos' mad quest for the Infinity Gems. B. B. is inoperable cancer. C. is Galactus' never-ending hunger. Or Quasar's insane journey to gain the Negabands. And so, there you go.
When you first asked the question before you gave me the options, I was like, he was sick with something. I was certain that he was sick with something, and then you gave me inoperable cancer. And I could be totally wrong, but I'm going to go with B, inoperable cancer.
This is just our week. That's correct. He died of cancer.
Fuck yeah. I should have bet more points. Hell yeah. Okay.
Oh no.
That's my turn.
Wait, so are we tied at -2 now, Andy?
Yeah, you and I are tied at -2. Alright, Jen. Your topic is The Tick, the animated show, the episode The Tick versus The Tick.
Oh god, okay.
It's a quiz question from the episode we just watched for the show.
I will do 5 because that will put me in the positive if I get it, and it will embarrass me horribly if I don't.
It'll just put you back to where you were last week. It's fine. Yeah. It won't embarrass you horribly. Okay.
Well, we just watched it.
Oh, I have 2 questions. I don't know which one. Okay. Which animal hero is not represented in the sidekick lounge? A, moth. B, dog slash canine. C, orangutan slash ape. Or D, possum slash raccoon.
D, possum slash raccoon.
Yeah, that's 5 points. That was too easy. Awesome. That was too easy. Should have given you the other one. Let me give you the other one just for shakes.
Okay, let's see.
What color was Sewer Urchin's O2 tank on his scuba kit? Black, silver, yellow, or blue? Oh, I should have given you this one. Balls!
Silver, yellow, or blue?
Yeah, black, silver, yellow, or blue.
Yellow.
Yeah, you would have gotten that one right, too.
You should get that one right, too.
It's just your week.
A lot of the Tick.
Yeah, he's in a lot of episodes.
Yeah, that's what I figured that one would have been easier, but no, she nailed the other one. All right. We all got, after last week, we've all gotten them wrong so bad, and now we have so many of the positives again. Nice. We all got it right. Cool. Let's get.
I feel good about this recovery.
Yeah, let's get the final scores.
Jen, 1. David, -2. Andy, -2.
Woo! Shit, David, nice. We gotta pick this shit up. All right, yeah, that's it for this week. Next week, we're gonna watch the live action The Tick.
I'm excited because Patrick Warburton is one of my favorite actors. He does a lot of cool stuff, but I know him more from his voice acting. So
right, and like when I was reading the Tick comic last week, the voice I was hearing in my head was his.
Oh, see, for me it was the cartoon version.
I don't know why. For some reason, I heard Patrick Warburton, and it's not like I said earlier. I don't have any exposure to any of these outside of maybe the random like advertisement or clip that somebody sent me of a funny scene. Like I had no, but for some reason Patrick Warburton was the voice that was in my head for.
Well, he's the right shape, you know.
Yeah.
And then if you put a blonde, make him blonde, he becomes Brock Samson.
That's true.
That's so true. And he is Brock Samson. Were you aware of that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I was.
Swedish murder machine.
Yes, right. Man, I need to catch up on Venture Brothers. I'm right at the point where the guy dies.
That's so vague.
All right. That's it for this week. Until next time, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye.